From Illinois Public Media, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and I'm going to begin today's program with a personal story. It was freshman year of high school, Mrs. Lesh's geometry class, late spring, end of the school year. If I remember correctly, we were taking an exam, so the classroom was mostly quiet, except the windows were open. Most of my school did not have air conditioning, and that meant allergens were blowing freely through the room. So when I said it was mostly quiet, the exception I had in mind was the sound of my sinuses taunting me, no doubt annoying my classmates. Mrs. Lesh, in an act of kindness I still remember all these years later, quietly circled the room and deposited a box of Kleenex on my desk. You know how people describe things as problems only if they interfere with everyday life? Well, that certainly describes my experience of seasonal allergies. And while they've gotten better with age, even today I buy my Kleenex at Sam's Club, and I'm conscious of keeping it within arm's reach. There's some right here, right now. It's one of those things where, if you know, you know. And anecdotally, I know a lot of people who are saying 2022 has been a particularly bad year for seasonal allergies. Joining us now to find out if there's anything to this is Dr. Andrea Pappalardo. She's an assistant professor of medicine and pediatrics at the University of Illinois Chicago College of Medicine. Dr. Pappalardo, thank you for joining us on the 21st Show.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
And listeners, we want to invite you to join the conversation as well. If you are suffering from allergies this season, or maybe you know someone who is, do they seem particularly severe this year? Or maybe you're even just discovering you have seasonal allergies for the first time. 800-222-9455 is the number to call. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can tweet us at 21st Show, at 21ST Show. So, Dr. Pappalardo, I'm going to begin with, just for those who are lucky enough not to suffer from seasonal allergies, what exactly are we talking about? What is that?
Absolutely. And so there's things that are blowing around us on a daily basis that we can't see. And this could be pollen or different allergens in the air. And what happens is that we inadvertently inhale them through our nose and into our lungs. And for some people, that causes an allergic reaction. So it's a little bit different than the people that are peanut allergic. You eat a peanut, you're in the hospital, and you have to use your EpiPen. This can be an ongoing thing, and you really just can't avoid what's outside because it's right there. And so in people that have allergies, it can range from having a stuffy nose to sneezing all the time, that person next to you in the office that's constantly coughing, or even asthma symptoms like shortness of breath, chest pain, and a lot of sinus headaches and migraines and different symptoms depending on different people. It can also make you really sleepy.
Oh my gosh, I'm feeling very seen right now in everything you just said there. What is it that makes some of us more susceptible to this than others?
Well, it's really interesting because when you think about other diseases and there's genetic basis and there's genetic basis to allergy as well. And so most of the people will have someone in their family that had some sort of allergy, but it's not guaranteed. And so you oftentimes will have to have both exposure in the environment and the genetic makeup. And so some people can have the genetic makeup, but just not have exposures or for whatever reason, never become allergic, while others can become allergic within their second year of life. And you're just like, what the heck? Why me? But it's not exactly like your blood type or your eye color, where it's very set genetically. There's a lot of environmental exposures that can kind of integrate into your risk of having allergies.
So what is actually, sometimes I like to use this phrase, like I'm a smart 13-year-old. So explain it to me like I'm a smart 13-year-old. What is actually happening in the body when these, you know, pieces of pollen come in? I mean, we know it's our nose is running, you know, we're sneezing, we're coughing, but like, why is that?
Yeah. And so these little things that are in the air that are, we can't necessarily see, but sometimes we can, sometimes the big ones, like the things that are flying in the air, they kind of get inhaled. And so when you inhale through your nose, they'll just kind of hang out inside your nose. And when they hang out on the outside, inside of your nose, that has a little bit of that skin, for people that have the genetic makeup and I have become allergic, will kind of let all those cells that are in the skin just make this huge reaction that will cause all those symptoms that you have. So it's like mini allergic reactions in the nose that you would kind of akin to someone with a food allergy getting very, very sick, but it's happening on microscopic scales within your nose that will cause things like congestion and nose running and your mucus cells to just go insane and produce a ton of mucus. So you're clearing your throat and trying to cough it up.
So, all right, how about it? Is this year particularly bad? Are you and your colleagues seeing more people coming in with complaints this year?
100%. And there's so many different reasons for this. And what I'm also seeing is that people who have had maybe minor asthma or asthma hasn't been really much bothering them, or people that had some little bit of allergies, it's just exploded. And there's so many different reasons for that, but I'm giving so many medications that I haven't had to for different people, putting more people on allergy shots than we've had before. It's really been significantly bad this year.
Well, what are some of your hypotheses as to why that is?
Well, there's a lot of different reasons. So first of all, we're just coming from this COVID pandemic. So everybody was kind of isolated inside, indoors, and just kind of using a mask whenever they went out. And even when people were outside, they were walking around and doing their, dog walking with their mask on. And so the mask will have reduce some exposures that go into your nose just from physical barriers. So that's one reason, but there's plenty more. And so what we've noticed in the last few years is this kind of changing and colliding of allergy seasons, where the pollen used to have its own little, like the early blooming trees go now, and then the late blooming trees, and then the grass, and then the ragweed, and then the frost. We used to have this kind of beautiful little partial seasonings, and what's happening is that's kind of obliterated. And so with the climate change, the heat, the rain, and the way that those and pollution change the allergenicity of a lot of our allergens, we're having kind of overlapping seasons we didn't have before. So people are getting sick sooner and longer, and that is definitely a factor that we're going to see potentially get worse over time as climate change continues to affect our exposures.
Oh, that makes so much intuitive sense. And when we talk about climate change, we're usually talking about flooding cities or the effects of, extreme heat on agriculture or business, things like that, but or just us, of course. But yeah, the allergy seasons are getting longer, right? And as you said, colliding. Can you say more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And so when you have a lot more rain, like we're seeing, you always think about it kind of on like the tick-borne illnesses are increasing, and that's huge. So we hear about all these mosquitoes having illnesses, but it also allows for grasses to pollinate sooner and longer. And so the grass season is a perfect example in Illinois that has started sooner and lasted longer, with pollen being tracked, earlier and longer, trees starting to bloom earlier. Now, early February, people are starting to come in with problems, whereas we didn't see things till March. And so these are the different kind of factors that happen with the increased rain. There's some things that are beneficial from rain, which we see when there's more of a drought. And so when we rain, all those little microscopic allergens that are in the air will come to the ground, and you might get some relief. But that kind of drought that we experience can do a few different things. That prevents the rain from taking away those airborne allergens. And then you also have more heat effects that will potentiate kind of the allergens and make the allergies worse. So like the ragweed plant is a perfect example of this. Pollution causes ragweed to be shorter and produce more pollen. And so ragweed sufferers, which is how hay fever came to be coined, is one of the worst allergens for many people. And that kind of usually happens in August, September until the frost. It's been creeping earlier into now times, and it will go all the way to frost, but frost is happening later. So you can see how these things are kind of integrating. Mold also in the hot, humid, nasty days that we've all come to know, unfortunately, very well in June, or I keep on saying to my daughter, like August is, we feel like it's August now. But that also contributes to the mold levels as well.
Yeah, those 100-degree days in June, at least downstate. We're speaking with Dr. Andrea Pappalardo. This she is the assistant professor of medicine and pediatrics at the University of Illinois Chicago College of Medicine. 800-222-9455. If you want to join our conversation here on the 21st show, we're talking about allergies, and this has been a particularly bad year for that. We had a text from listener John in Elgin, who says he read that allergies are closely linked to stress, and that with everything happening right now, stress is making allergy symptoms much worse. Do you have a perspective on that?
Absolutely. And so this is actually, John, you're right on point in that all of the research is now showing us that trauma experiences that are anxiety provoking, stressful, chaos in the home, food insecurity, all of these things are linked to your likelihood of having allergies and asthma. You're more likely to get them and they're more likely to become worse. And so it's a very interesting theory, and what we haven't had a chance to study yet, but I think we should, to your point, John, is how the stress from the COVID-19 pandemic influences allergies in and of itself, separate from the, now you're going outside without a mask aspect. And I bet you there's a relationship. I don't know that we've done those studies specifically, but I do know that from other studies, this has been greatly shown to be influential in asthma and allergies separately.
So if allergy seasons continue to worsen because of the climate and maybe increasing stress, although you said we don't know that for sure, but if they generally tend to get worse over time, what effects could that have on somebody with allergies?
Well, when we look at children in the studies that show that the kids that have uncontrolled allergies, they're less likely to perform well in school and meet their potential. And that's a huge concern. And so if you're constantly exhausted and having chronic or ongoing allergic reaction in your nose and in your lungs, you're just not going to be as productive. And so our productivity will definitely go down. Our ability to be able to focus and concentrate will go down. And you just feel sick all the time. And that in and of itself will cause kind of this cycle of stress and worsening. Add that on to the other layers of how climate change will affect us with the increase illnesses that will be ever present that we are have been pretty much had a reprieve for, but from a lot of the tropical climates that we'll then soon experience here, the tick-borne illnesses, which are expanding in where they are at, and various other illnesses that come with the climate change and the flooding and all of these other things, you'll start to see that we'll have long-lasting chronic disease and people that hadn't had before, and we're going to have to do something about it. Now, could everybody in the world be on allergy shots? Likely not. We don't have enough access for that and enough allergists for that. But I think we're going to have to really think about how we mitigate some of these effects and whether we have different ways to change indoor air pollution and various ways that innovations in industry and things like the Clean Air Act in Illinois that will help reduce our need for diesel fuels and other fuels to move more toward electric that will help reduce some of our pollutants and help the air we breathe be more clean. So more policy implementation at a higher level will be a necessity to help us in our daily lives to do what we need to do to maintain our society in a functioning way.
Let's go to the phones at 800-222-9455. Paul is on the line from Sycamore. Paul, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, good morning. My topic is slightly off, but you actually mentioned that you keep a box of Kleenex next to you. And I have the same sort of problem, and that I need to clear my throat constantly before I speak, or otherwise my vocal cords get all cluttered up. And I'm wondering if this kind of thing is allergy related.
All right, thank you for the question, Paul. Dr. Papalardo, what's your perspective on that?
Paul, I think that's absolutely a possibility. I mean, that those what you're describing are very common symptoms of seasonal allergies. Now, we'd have to make sure you don't have anything else like reflux or something along those lines. But I would encourage you to seek out an allergy referral so that you can get tested to know what you're allergic to, because then you might be able to do some things around your home, including shutting your windows when you have a high pollen count, or depending on what you're allergic to, if you're allergic to an animal in the home, you can do some things to help reduce your exposure to the allergies from your animal. And so I really encourage you to get tested so you know, and then you can be treated for it. And people won't be like, why are you clearing your throat or what's going on? Because you probably have noticed that people around you are like asking, especially in COVID, like, do you have COVID? What's going on?
Yeah, Absolutely. For me, it's not so much clearing my throat as it is just a runny nose constantly. We need to take a break in about a minute here. So briefly, do people outgrow allergies, or am I just conflating, like, well, I just spend a lot more time indoors now because I'm an adult?
That's a really interesting question. And I think it's hard. I don't think that people really outgrow them. I think we adapt. I think that you can control them. But they tend to stay, at least from the environmental allergens. And when we talk about foods, you can outgrow some of those foods. And it's very common to, like, egg and milk allergies, but it's not as common. You learn to adapt, and a lot of people become in denial. They're like, well, my asthma doesn't bother me. Well, what happens when you exercise? Well, I just don't exercise. And so I think there's a lot of that. So it's hard to tease that apart, most definitely.
Yeah. And the times I have to work outside, if I'm doing leaf blowing or mowing the lawn or something like that, I've taken to wearing an N95 mask, which we're all a lot more familiar with these days. All right, we're going to take a break. And then when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Andrea Pappalardo, who is at the University of Illinois Chicago College of Medicine, specialist in pediatrics. There and an assistant professor of medicine. 800-222-9455 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation. That's 800-222-9455. When we come back, we're going to focus on some of the things we can do to prevent allergies. We heard shutting the windows was one suggestion there. We're going to talk more about that, medication, and other subjects. 800-222-9455. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about seasonal allergies. A lot of people think they are worse, based on our subjective experience, that they are worse this year than they have been in quite a few years. We're talking about that with Dr. Andrea Pappalardo, who is Assistant Professor of Medicine and Pediatrics at the University of Illinois Chicago College of Medicine. And before the break, we were talking about one of the things we were talking about is how to decrease our exposure. So you mentioned closing the windows. What else should people be doing to try and ease their symptoms or prevent their, you know, getting exposed to allergens?
Well, avoidance is the number one, but it's really hard to avoid the things that are outside. So one thing you can do is avoid the things from outside coming inside. And so the closing of the windows, as well as if you spent a day kind of, like you mentioned, mowing the lawn, you come in and you take a shower immediately because that pollen is all over you. And so that way you're not bringing it into your couch, your bed, all of those things that have that kind of upholstered furniture that just kind of soaks those allergens up. And so doing those types of things, a lot of people make fun out of the, you know, old grandmothers that had the plastic on the couches. Well, that actually is allergy covers, old school allergy covers. And so we recommend, like, dust mite covers and stuff. They make ones that aren't like plastic and sweaty, like your grandmother's at this point in time. But there's a lot of different things that you can do within the home, and also the timing of your walks in different times. But I think what you mentioned is that if you're mowing the lawn and such, and since we're so used to those masks, I've recommended that to a lot of my families, is wear a mask while you're mowing the lawn, you know, doing different times of which you know it's going to be nasty outside is to limit your times outdoors, as well as use the air conditioning. Air conditioning will help reduce that humidity and will help you feel like the air that you breathe is just more clear. And so that's also helpful. And reduce of the humidity in your home also decreases the likelihood of the dust mites in your home to be a problem.
All right, we're going to go back to the phones. Tim is calling from Oregon, Illinois. Tim, thank you for calling in. Tim, are you with us? All right, he's not there. His question was about, he said he's a beekeeper and people buy honey for allergies, and he wanted to know if that actually helps.
That's a really interesting question. I'm not sure that it does. I'm not sure that it doesn't. But what it does do, what we do know, is it can reduce cough and it can help coat your throat. And so if you imagine you're constantly throat clearing, that That honey is better than any over-the-counter cough medicine to help soothe your throat, as well as to help cough, especially when you get more of a reactive cough from perhaps asthma or allergic-induced asthma. And so I think it helps with their symptoms. Now, whether or not it treats allergies in and of themselves, I'm not sure that it does, but it definitely can soothe some of the symptoms. And so it's really cool that people are going to natural ways to helping, because that's definitely something that won't hurt you or have as many side effects.
This may have to be our last question for time, but and I have this myself. We also got a text. Do antihistamines lose their effectiveness against allergies over time? Is there a treatment that helps with congestion? Been on medicine for many years and many kinds, but am continually congested. I got to say, I've taken Zyrtec for a long time. I'm not sure it's really doing much. What's your perspective on that?
Yeah, you know, congestion is one of those hard things to get over. And Zyrtec, although it helps with some of that runny nose and perhaps the throat clearing, is just not great with the nasal congestion. The other medications that do help are the nasal sprays that everyone dislikes because you have to stick something up your nose. But if you go straight up, it's going to be more problematic. So know that the inside of your nose helps. It's more a little bit to the angle. And so if you go a little bit outward, you might be able to get more coverage within the nasal turbinates, which you're treating. But you're not wrong that Zyrtec and those other medications that are similar to the cetirizine, which is the generic name, they don't really help with the congestion. To your other question about whether or not they lose effectiveness over time, it is really interesting to me, but many people have to do a rotation of the different types. And I don't know why. Some people, cetirizine can always help, and or whatever they're taking, Allegra, it doesn't matter, whichever one. It tends that a few different things. People tend to respond to one, and in families, it seems to be similar. And then some people will stop responding and require kind of a little bit of a rotation. And so I've recommended that based on people individually and their experiences. Yeah. I don't know that we have a lot of data to support this, these particular regimens of how we do it. It's kind of anecdotal, but I see it in practice quite a bit.
All right. Well, Dr. Andrea Pappalardo, we have to leave it there. Thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Well, thank you for having me.